Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily.
And I'm Christy. We're just two gals in our 20s trying to live our best type 1 diabetic lives.
Every week we tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we offer tips, we are not medical professionals, but we also offer plenty of anecdotes and general thoughts about how to embrace the type 1 lifestyle on your own terms.
It's not always easy to do through all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to.
Hey guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. It's Emily here.
And Christy.
And today we have a very special guest. We have Rob Ho. Tell me if I'm mispronouncing your last name.
Oh, no, you should have clarified that.
Yes. Okay, so he is the founder of Diabetics Doing Things. It is a blog and podcast. He is a former Washington General, where he played professional basketball, and he's been diabetic for 13 years, so he's got quite the resume. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about managing diabetes with, you know, being all pro at various things. So welcome, Rob. We're excited to have you.
Well, I'm excited to be here. My last name is pronounced Howe, but that's okay. I'll get you guys a slide on that. I just was having like PTSD of my dad doing this like very non-PC, like raising his hand and be like Howe, like a Native American like greeting, when he was explaining it to people. So I had to get that out. But I'm super excited to be here.
My bad.
I love what you guys do, and I'm really kind of excited to be on the other side of the mic today.
Yeah, that must be a good change of pace for you. Do you want to just jump right in and give us a little bit of background about your athletic career, if you will?
Yeah, sure. So my whole life, I wanted to be a basketball player. That was my dream. That was what I always thought about, even before I was diagnosed. When I was 16... In the middle of my, I guess, sophomore year of high school, I was still pretty much pursuing, I was really starting the, like, elite portion of my basketball career, where I was sort of done growing into, like, my man body, I guess, and, like, becoming more athletic, because I was always really skinny. I'm, like, 6'6", and I was fully grown at that point, but I lost a bunch of weight halfway through the year, and I thought it was just because I was, like, in great shape. But then started feeling even worse, like New Year's Eve came around, typical symptoms, and I got diagnosed with type 1, was in the hospital, but like right away they were like, the first thing I thought was like, oh no, now I can't play basketball.
That's awful.
And yeah, that was the thought, because I was diagnosed, my official diagnosis came at the hospital, but I went to an Emergicare first of all, and it's about a 20-minute drive, just me and my mom. And I remember like all the everything hitting me on that drive, and it was just like very emotional 25 minutes where we didn't really talk. Not my mom and I have a great relationship, but we didn't really talk on that drive. It was just like a very heavy moment, and I was just crying, and I thought that it was done. The thing that I still love the most, I think, was taken away from me. And then it was very quickly into my time at Children's Medical Center in Dallas, which is a fantastic hospital, and I had no idea of that at the time. But they reassured me that whatever dream I had for my life was still within reach as long as I took care of myself. So I think right there for me, the biggest thing was like, okay, I just made the decision instantly that this is what I wanted to do. So everything that I had to do for my diabetes, I was like all over it. So, I mean, that was kind of my journey at the time. So I was 16, and I like to joke now that I never really was a good basketball player when I didn't have diabetes. So, you know, life after diagnosis for me was the most exciting times of my basketball career, whether it was, you know, being the best player on my high school team, or, you know, winning all those like awards that you get in high school when nothing really matters, and then going to college and like sort of getting slapped in the face with reality, and really learning what it was like to work hard, to trying to grind it out as a pro, both here in the U.S. and then overseas, and then with the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, those things are like some of the happiest times of my life, and I just had diabetes as it was just my partner in crime, like walking with me step by step by step. So yeah, I guess we can dive into sort of each of those, but that's the general sentiment of the whole story.
That's awesome. The first question I have is, how did you manage your numbers, so to speak, while you were honeymooning and in high school and, you know, trying to juggle all of those fun things like dating and being an awkward teenager and being, you know, really active with basketball.
Yeah.
Did you have to, like, sit out any games?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, like, from the honeymoon perspective, I don't know if you guys remember this, but when you get diagnosed, like, I don't know, there's always that little bit of denial. But for me, it kind of came into full focus when they gave me, like, 2 saline bags, which my body just drank up super fast, and a bunch of insulin. And I just felt so much better. So I think it was the first, you know, my honeymoon numbers were incredible. It was so easy to manage everything. It was, like, clear that this was what I had. You know, and I had needed insulin and, you know, water, be able to retain water for a long time. So I remember it was, like, before I played my first game, I was, like, in the gym, just kind of, like, I wasn't allowed to practice yet for, like, a week until everything kind of, we figured how to manage everything. And so I was just, like, in the gym, and I, like, grabbed the ball and just, like, dunked it really hard. And I was, like, oh, wow, I feel so good right now. Like, this is, so I think at that point I was, like, okay, well, I can get through this honeymoon phase, and, you know, whatever the outcome's going to be, I feel like I'm on the right track now. There's no more setbacks in terms of how my body feels. And I knew, I was like, okay, well, if this is, you know, the spectrum for how I'm going to feel, like, I think I'm going to be okay.
That's such a relief.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The huge relief. And I'm, like, a pretty energetic, like, happy guy. So, you know, being able to feel like myself again was a big relief, I felt more confident in my diabetes, navigating those moments, like injecting your pens around your friends for the first time.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, testing your blood sugar in front of people, or, you know, feeling confident making those types of decisions. In terms of dating, I don't have any great stories in terms of, like,
it's,
you know,
okay.
Awkward first dates where I'm like, hey, like, I have diabetes, is that okay? But okay. I do remember having conversations.
I think I had
my current girlfriend, I think it was just, like, always there. We met later in life. But in high school, maybe just, like, I went to a small school, so it wasn't really there. I think in college, like, going on a date, like, an official date with a girl, like, out for, I think it was, like, Payway or something really fancy, you know? But I remember being like, hey, like, I have diabetes. Like, I'm going to check my blood sugar. Like, if you're grossed out by blood, like, don't pass out.
Look away.
Yeah.
Don't date me.
So,
but
Payway, I mean, obviously, I took her to Payway. It was, like, a big deal. So she got over it.
I mean, going on an actual date in college is a big deal, regardless of the restaurant, I feel like. Maybe it's just being a millennial. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Like, going off campus. Like, sound the alarm. It was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, damn.
So, just in terms of traveling and everything, did you ever have kind of an unexpected low that did hold you back at any kind of sporting event or anything like that?
I don't know if it was because I think in college, when I was choosing which college to go to, and going on visits and stuff, I made it a point to, like, meet with the training staff. So my trainers, and, you know, major shout out to all of them, 4 in particular, Brian, who's, like, the head trainer, Amy, Jenny, and John Michael, who were my, you know, really my best friends in the athletic department throughout my time in college.
You went to Colorado, right?
So I went to University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. So okay. It's like the, you know, smaller satellite campus to CU Boulder.
Awesome.
But awesome place. And I wanted to make sure that they knew, like, if we worked together and we communicated, that we were going to have a great experience together, right? So I certainly had to pull myself out of, you know, 100 practices at different points to treat a low or a high. But they had my kit right there, and my, you know, I switched to a pump halfway through college. So I was on multiple daily injections my freshman and sophomore year, then transitioned to a pump for my junior and senior year. And so they had either my kit with my pens there or my pump right there, and I would just come in, figure out what I needed to do, and keep going. And I think only once did, you know, it really take me out of a practice to where my coach was, like, pissed at me, and I, like, you know, there's nothing I can do. So there was this, you know, story where he was just mad because he was an asshole. I don't know. Can I cuss?
Yeah.
Can I cuss on this podcast? Sorry.
Trust me. Yes, we all do.
Okay. Sorry.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, that ship is sailed. You guys have the explicit mark now on iTunes. So he was sort of just like an old school type guy. And so I think he also had a really high pitched voice when he yelled. So I took myself out like 20 minutes into a pretty hard practice. And he was like, "Oh, is that all we're going to get out of you?"
Well, yes, and sir.
And I was like, for that time, like, yeah, for the next hour, I think I was out that day. But one moment in particular, like one of those unexpected curveballs that diabetes throws at you, is we were on an away game. I think it was my senior or junior year, and my battery died in my pump, and I didn't have a.
Which pump did you have, by the way? Sorry to interrupt.
I still have the same kind. I don't. It wasn't this one specifically, but it was a Medtronic MiniMed Revel, Paradigm Revel. So
okay, cool.
Looks like the pager.
Yeah.
So. I'm really excited. I'm getting a 670 Medtronic here in the next couple weeks, so this will be.
Is that the closed loop?
That is the closed loop one. So.
Oh my God! Keep me posted.
I'm about to majorly upgrade my technology.
Is that with the Medtronic sensor? They haven't integrated the Dexcom for that, have they?
They have not. So it's still with the Medtronic sensor for now.
That's exciting, though. Let me know how that goes. I'm Omnipod all the way. I can't do tubes. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I'm looking forward to that. So my battery died. So it's like a AAA battery. But we were playing a game in Denver, and we had another game in Denver the next day. But we were driving back to Colorado Springs. It's about an hour. But after a game, my blood sugar was usually high, just because of like the cortisol, the adrenaline, the stress, like. Just, you know, everything that you've been preparing for, you have 20 games, like it's a high pressure situation. So I needed to have insulin delivery from that time. So like, I made the bus like stop at a gas station on the way home, which sounds like a big deal. It really wasn't. But, you know, for me at the time, I had to have the confidence to say, "Hey team, I need to stop everybody and go and get this battery." And I think, in a different situation, if I hadn't had that relationship with them and I hadn't gone over that beforehand, it could have been weird, but they were very supportive of it, and my teammates obviously all knew me, so it wasn't too big of a deal, but, you know, just adding that to the agenda, having that confidence.
That's good that you were comfortable to do that, though. That's something I think, if I was stopping a group of people, I think I would hesitate. People that I'm close with one-on-one, I kind of don't mind pointing out something to them, but if it was a big group, like a bus full of people, I think I might be intimidated right out of that.
Yeah, I think it, you know, it all comes down to, and I won't say that I didn't hesitate. I certainly was walking through, like, you know, the scenarios. I could have probably waited the hour, 2 hours, but I also wanted to eat, and I knew we always went to, like, a post-game meal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you want me to motivate me to do anything, you know, use food as a motivator.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was probably like, hey, we're about to go eat. I need to give myself a shot or a bolus through my pump. So I'm going to need a battery. So let me just stop at this gas station real quick and do that. And I think so that was, it was like personal care. So I think I always prioritized over everybody's feelings. I knew that if I just bit the bullet on this one time, some people might be upset that we have to stop for 5 minutes. But once they realize that it's really important, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think like priority.
I think that's a.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say I think that's a good outlook on life. Like I know I'm never hesitant. I also that my personality is not shy or hesitant at all. But I, when it comes to diabetes, which is still fairly new for me, I've only had it for around 3 years. It's still a learning curve, and I think it's important to realize that for your teammates, I'm sure it was still a learning curve because every year you get new teammates, right? So it's a new thing for them to look at. So it sounds like you handled it really well and were able to explain it to them in terms that they'd understand, aka food, because everyone loves food.
Yeah, and I think communication has always been something that I would say is a really good skill of mine in terms of explaining things to people. I had an interview for a job, I guess, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now, but it was impromptu. I didn't really go into it, you know, expecting to have a job interview. So I was like pretty casually dressed, like really relaxed and kind of blasé. And they asked me about what my best skill was. And I was like, well, and this is the exact example I used. I could talk to a, like a crack dealer on the corner or an executive in the boardroom. And that was the way I explained it. And
God.
And like, and it still had like the same level of rapport explaining whatever it is to people. So I was like, I'm a good communicator. So I've never had a conversation with a crack dealer, to my knowledge, but that was the example.
But you could, and I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think I would try it.
This is not a place of judgment.
You know, so I got the job, long story short.
Congrats.
I also used another...
4 years later.
Another... Yeah, this is way off topic, but another example I used to describe myself in that interview, because I was... I don't know what I was on that day in terms of, like, my confidence level, but I just felt really good. when Shaquille O'Neal was signed with the Miami Heat in 2004, he did this interview, press conference, and he said, I'm like toilet paper and other amenities proven to be good. And so I used that quote in that interview. They're like, so why should I hire you? I was like, oh, I'm like toilet paper and other amenities proven to be good. And I, you know, you can't really argue with that philosophy. Like, toilet paper is good. So I'm just going to compare myself to something like that.
Make yourself indispensable.
Yeah, literally. Oh my God, that's amazing. But back to diabetes a little bit here.
Yeah, can
Not
I ask
that I didn't love that tidbit.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, go ahead, Christy.
Yeah?
Yeah, go for it.
Did you ever come across any other type 1 athletes during your travels or a teammate or anything like that? Or was this something that you always kind of had to explain to everyone around you?
Oh my gosh, I wish. I never had a teammate. I never encountered anybody at like a tryout. I've still never like met another basketball player like in person or had another conversation with another basketball player. Except actually that's not true. I have talked to Adam Morrison, who was like my childhood hero, who played for Gonzaga and in the NBA. Talked to him for about 15 minutes. He did agree to come on the podcast on Diabetics Doing Things, but he hates the press and is also like lives really in a remote part of Washington because he can. Anyway, so I haven't had him on. I haven't had the discussion, but and I've never had a teammate, but I'd like to, and I'm working on a couple other interviews as well with pro guys who are type 1. So no, I never did. I wanted to. I did an interview with a couple guys who are teammates on the Columbia football team, and that interview will be launching in a couple weeks. But it was cool to see like somebody who knew what you were going through and sort of backed up all of your crazy claims. Because like throughout, you know, I missed a couple like serious practices because they were so intense that my blood sugar went too high and I had to step out. Like, or my blood sugar would crash after a weird eating day and I had to step out of a drill or something. And I know that even my close teammates and like guys who were, you know, like my brothers still, like, they thought about it. They're like, okay, like, is this a real thing or is Rob just, like, stepping out of this drill because he can and it's really hard?
No, I mean, the entire foundation of this podcast is the idea that it's so much easier to talk to someone who actually knows. As much as you can have support systems that understand as best they can, there's nothing quite like talking to someone who really just gets it.
Yeah, I mean, even the other day, there's a guy in my building, so I guess it's the closest thing. I work in a big building in downtown Dallas, and one of my coworkers saw his, like, pump tubing because he was wearing his shirt tucked in because he works at, like, a, you know, a corporate real estate firm, so he's all fancy. So his pump tubing is sticking out of his pocket, and she's like, oh my gosh, like that's Rob has some pump tubing. So she came back and talked to me. I was like, oh, did you like talk to him and like talk and like get his name or where he works? And she's like, no. She's like, why would I introduce myself to a stranger? So some time goes by, and we encounter the guy again, like, but this time I'm with him. So she like sees, he's like, oh, that's him. You see, like, you see his pump. And so I, of course, just walked over to him. I was like, hey man, like, and I had my pump in my hand. I was like, hey, like, look, I have a pump. And he's like, oh, hey, cool. And so it's like you guys said, you instantly have this like pal that you like, oh, we have so much in common. Did we just become best friends type of relationship response, which is super rare. Like, you introduce yourself to a stranger, 99 times out of 100, you're not going to have that response. But because you have this in common, it's like a very cool thing.
You literally know each other's pain.
Yeah,
I think
do.
That's like a big factor in why, you know, pals become pals. Like, Christy and I would have been friends. We were actually just talking about this the other day. We would have been friends, but I don't know if we would have been as close had I not just shared
I like pounced like, my on entire you medical you said, history with her. When you said you were also type 1, I just wanted to curl up in your lap. You were my first pancreas pal in college. I had gone 3 years really just not communicating with someone.
That was the most tender
someone thing
you've ever said to me.
It was just such a relief because I know always in that class, it's just my time of day. Like when between the hours of 3 and 5, actually 3 to the end of the day, I just am so prone to dropping super easily. And I always had to walk home from that class because the tea would be ridiculous that time of day. So, you know, it was nice to just break out a snack, give you a nice eyebrow raise so you knew what was going on, and then just get back to schoolwork. It was just nice.
Christy and I went to Boston University, and we lived on opposite side of campus from where we often had class. So there were many a lows post that class, in case you wanted to sympathize, Rob. But
no, I did. I'm thinking back to the first type 1 pal in the wild that I ran across.
Out in the wild.
Yeah.
And I was back to food. I mean, almost everything tracks back to food with me. But I was at a Chipotle grand opening, like across the street from campus.
And, my dream.
Oh, my gosh. It was what a great day because they give away free burritos. But the line is exactly like around the building. So I think I was there for my like second stop of the day. even saw my asshole college basketball coach there because he, you know, he respects burritos. Burritos are the great equalizer. But
true.
This guy, like, I like had my shorts on. I was in my college, you know, college bro uniform, just like gym shorts and a tank top, like, and a hat and like, you know, baggy clothes. Anyway, so I had my like pump was in my pocket and my tubing was out. And this dude walks by and he's like, "Hey, bro!" Like, and I remember him being like that because in Colorado you have your like surf, like, you know, they're like surfer dudes, but they're snowboard bros. So like,
that's hilarious.
He had this like bright colored like flat brim hat on, like, and like fitted hat and like all the, and anyway, he came by, he's like, "Hey dude, like, check this out, me too." And he just said "me too." I had no idea what he was talking about. But he had the same pump as me. He had like a cool blue one, but mine is gray. But he was like, "Look man, like we're diabetes bros." And I was like, at first, like, kind of uncomfortable about it, but I just like loved that guy. Like I instantly like knew, like, I hoped that I saw him around again. I never saw him again, but he was just like, and this was
lost
kinda
connection.
Like, this was probably 2009, so, you know, not, you know, "Hey bro, like, follow me on Instagram, add me on Snap," or whatever, like, that wouldn't happen. So I was just like, "Yeah man, I hope I see you around," and then just like he just faded off into the Chipotle sunset and I never saw him again. But I just remember like right off the bat, like, I had so much in common with that guy, seemingly, like, obviously under the surface, because like you never would know. But yeah, it's like, "Yeah man, I know what you're going through."
Is that the response that you find you get on your own podcast? Do you have people on there that haven't really found their pancreas pal yet?
Sometimes, yeah. I think initially too, like the first few people that I did interviews with, and I think, you know, to an extent, like, I was that way. It was never something that I was super public about, even though I did, like, you know, newspaper interviews or like, when I was in college, like, the, you know, athletic department did like a story on me every year or whatever about having diabetes. But it was something that I just I didn't want to. Well, yeah, because they were hurting for content.
It's like that kid who has a cast in class and everyone wants to sign it.
Yeah.
Like every year.
And I think
though,
I didn't want to be a burden to people.
We had an episode on being a burden. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Well, I would definitely want to listen to that because, yeah, I think it's like a, you can wear it, I don't know, it's you can wear it as a heavy burden if you choose to, and it could be a kind of a trap. And I think, you know, people that don't, I don't know, I had an interesting interaction with somebody who I was like, "Yeah, I have this like great diabetes podcast and like I'm trying to help people with it," and he was like, "Oh well, you're just painting yourself into a corner." I was like, "Wow, you obviously like don't know it, you're not hearing anything I'm saying." But I think the biggest thing is, like, once I open myself up to this entire awesome world of pancreas pals, right, like, of people who knew what I was going through and could, you know, not just commiserate, but also just like be there and be like, yeah, like, I relate to that. Like, you know, I think ultimately, like, we all just want to people to hear not just our problems, but, you know, just be a community and just know that, you know, there are other people out there like them going through the same things, whether that's highs or lows or sports or whatever. Because, you know, those, we just need help. We need each other. We're a community style being, and we thrive on that.
Yeah, I think it's tricky just because it's such a not static condition that you need someone to talk to, because I know I always want to celebrate when I'm having a really good day, but then if I'm having a bad day, I just, like, I need to tell someone. I just need to. I need to text Emily and be like, why am I at 300? This makes no sense. And I just need the pat on the bat and the reminder to drink water and calm down. It's the same advice I would give myself, but for some reason, hearing it from someone else just makes the difference for me. I don't know.
I like to think that it's me. It's my difference that I make for you, Christy. I'd like to attribute
it's true. Why do you think I was so excited when I finally found you? Because, I mean, up until Emily... I've talked about this a lot, and I definitely need to get into this more in another episode, but I nannied for 2 summers, and the way that I found the kids that I was nannying, the middle child was also type 1, and a social worker from my old pediatric department, whatever, in New Jersey kind of hooked us up, and I try to still stay in touch with the family, I mean, partially because I just love the whole family so much, but... Also, I like fielding questions even from her mom. Like, sometimes just the second point of view just makes all the difference, and I really want to stay in touch so that as she gets older and she starts going through the things that, you know, I already have had to go through, it's just kind of comforting to know, like, you are not the first one. You're not doing something wrong on a bad day. Like, sometimes you really just need that reassurance, and hearing it from someone else who really knows what they're saying... It just, it's a huge comfort, and I think it's crazy how dependent my numbers are on my stress level. So the fact that I can just, fact that I can just text someone, it takes at least some of the stress off. You know, if it's a bad day, it's a bad day. I'm not trying to put that pressure on you, Emily. But, you know, it alleviates what it can, and I just think that that's really important.
I didn't know for so long how, like, that stress and, like, cortisol was, like, scientifically linked to blood sugar levels.
It's my number one, it's, like, my daily...
It's my go-to.
It's my daily demon. Even if I feel rushed in the morning, like, it's crazy. After, I'm telling you, after I sit down, like, a glass of water and taking a literal minute to calm down, I see such a difference, which is why I'm a little bit obsessive about... getting up early and getting places early, because if I feel any extra stress for reasons that I can avoid, it's crazy how much that can affect me. So yeah, try to avoid that as best I can.
So moral of,
well,
yeah, stress free life, that's the way to go.
It is. I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you guys do any sort of, like, mindfulness or meditation practice?
I am way too impatient for meditation, but if you consider taking a beat to have the glass of water. Water's my cure-all for absolutely everything. That's probably as close as I get. If I can just get, like, a quiet moment, like a cold glass of ice water. I don't know why that has always just been my comfort object.
Honestly, like, that's the most natural, like, response to, do you meditate? Like, oh yeah, I drink a glass of water and have a deep breath. Like, that is meditation. It's interesting that, like, the stigmas that we all put on it. For one, I'm a very, like I said earlier, very energetic, very, like, high, like, energy person. And so I also am a thinker, which is dangerous. So
I'm an overthinker, so.
Right there with you.
So
I use meditation to help with my anxiety. So it's definitely something that I do, because, like, if I'm getting worked up or something at work, or, you know, if I'm on a very crowded subway like I was today and I start feeling panicked, I definitely... do a lot of meditation, which does in turn help my numbers, but it's more for my anxiety, I think.
Yeah, I think the key for me is just stepping away from whatever the situation is. Even if I'm frustrated at my desk, if I'm at, like, a social gathering and I'm getting anxious or upset for whatever reason, I need to physically move myself, even if it's just for a few minutes, like take a quick walk. That's the best thing for me. It's like physically move myself away and then like just catch up with myself.
It was interesting. I was having a conversation with my mom last week, and I was telling her that I was doing some more interviews on the other side of the mic, and she's like, do you talk about when I made you go outside and it was freezing outside because we couldn't get your, and you had the flu because we couldn't get your blood sugar down? And I was like, no, I don't. Oh my God. I don't remember that.
Did it work?
Honestly, like, I think so. She's like, yeah, I made you go outside and play basketball, like, because you know we couldn't get your blood sugar down. And so it's interesting that, like, you know, moving and like being a kinesthetic person can, you know, kind of help alleviate tension or you know, adjust your blood sugar levels or just kind of get you back more centered. I've talked about this a little bit on my podcast, not too much. I guess back in like March or so, I had this incident that I like to call the sandwich incident. And
ooh, ominous.
It sounds very ominous. It's seemingly simple, and I've since had the sandwich again, the same sandwich, and I've, you know, managed to conquer it. So shout out to being really stubborn. But I had this sandwich that on the surface seemed like any other sandwich. Like it wouldn't send me into a blood sugar roller coaster or you know, put me into a tizzy, but I was wrong about that, and I grossly misjudged the carbs that were in it. And I typically eat you know, a relatively lower carb, you know, pretty healthy, like vegetable, high fat, you know, good stuff diet. And this was outside of that. And so, but I really wanted it. It sounded good. So anyway, I had the sandwich and it like wrecked my blood sugar for the rest of the afternoon. I was in like the 300s. I felt terrible. I was cursing at the world. I was mad and I was tired and I had like a big night. I also coach and teach improv. So my class had a graduation that night. So I was like, had to be ready for that. Had to be like on. So I couldn't get my blood sugar down. Damn. And so I was like, okay, well, I feel terrible. I can take a nap or I can work out. And I was like, okay, well, if I take a nap, I'm going to have to get restarted, and this sounds terrible. I'm going to go work out. So I did. And it made all the difference for me. It was really interesting, like, just going and doing a 30-minute, not even that long, 20-minute, just, like, get sweaty, jump up and down, lift some heavy stuff.
I mean, that also alleviates stress, just kind of moving around.
And lowers numbers.
I couldn't have made a better decision because, like, just my energy level, like, my stress, like, I just felt better. And I know that if I had taken a nap, I wouldn't have, even though I was tired, I wouldn't have felt better.
I probably would have taken the nap.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I've been in that situation again since then, and I've taken the damn nap. If that's one piece of advice that I would give somebody who like is going all the time, firing in all cylinders, likes to have their hand in multiple pots, juggle multiple things, take the nap every now and then. Just treat yourself.
I like that.
Yeah, we love a good nap antidote, but it is important to, you know, stay active. And you definitely have taught us a lot about interesting athletic things, and we really enjoyed having you on. We like to keep these podcasts closer to a commute type of length, so I think we're going to start wrapping it up.
Cool.
But we're very happy that you reached out to us and that you came on the show. And you guys, if you want to hear more of Rob Howe, because I mispronounced his last name before and would like to redeem myself, head on over to his website, which is diabeticsdoingthings.com, I believe.
That's right.
And you can follow them on Instagram as well, same thing, Diabetics Doing Things. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Pancreas Pals. It's actually at Pancreas_Pals. Oh my God, I think that was the first time I've ever messed that up. I'm just flustered thinking about an app right now. But
thank you so much for coming on. This was such a different episode for us. This is something we wouldn't usually cover. So this was such a treat. Thank you so much.
In a good way.
Because we're not athletic. In a glorious way. This was something we don't usually talk about, and mix it up. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. I don't get to be on this side of the microphone very much, and now all of the feedback that people say, like, oh, I feel like I rambled or I talked too much, now I totally get that. So I appreciate you guys being open to having me, and I can't wait to hear how weird my voice sounds in another interview format.
It's the worst. Your voice sounds normal, but I hate listening to myself, so I definitely feel you there. But we wish all of our pals a great week ahead, and be sure to keep tuning in and download us on iTunes, head to our website, pancreaspals.com, and look out for more episodes on the way. We have some exciting people we're going to talk to the rest of the season, including influencers, maybe some nutritionists here and there, spoiler alert, who knows. But definitely keep your eye on our Instagram, on our Facebook, and on our website, and check in on iTunes. Thanks again, Rob, and we hope everyone has a great week. Bye-bye.
Yay. Okay, bye.
Yay.
Bye.